Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment company. Columbia Pictures presents, in association with Senator Entertainment and the Canton Company, a Mandolin Entertainment propaganda films production. A Luis Mandoki film. Joe Hickey, a man with a thin moustache and glasses, is at the steering wheel of a car. He taps his hand on the wheel. In the passenger seat, a woman looks anxious. She watches as Joe taps numbers into a mobile phone.
Hello. Good, good. You counted it? Okay.
Yeah, I just spoke to him. He's cool. Yeah.
Joe hangs up.
Where's Peter?
And stretches his arms.
You killed him, didn't you? You killed him. And you're gonna kill me.
Well, you are making it awfully tempting. Listen, Mary, I want you to know that I really enjoyed the last 24 hours. And that includes our little party.
She lowers her head, and matted hair obscures her haggard features. With a knowing smirk, Joe makes another call.
Marvin, are you in place? All right. Just wait a minute, and then do it.
He said do it!
You don't know, now do it. We've come so far together. You know what we talked about?
I remember. I won't tell. I promise I won't tell. I won't tell.
Okay. Guess what? He's in the playground. Right behind me.
Mary!
Goodbye, Mary.
He smiles as he releases her from his grip, and she scrambles out of the vehicle. The moment she's outside, his smile fades, and he watches her coldly. She rushes through a bustling cafeteria and into a playground beyond, desperately scanning the faces of youngsters around her. Meanwhile, Joe's left his car. Tears are streaming down her face, and then she spots a blonde-haired boy. She scoops him up in her arms. Joe gets in the passenger side of another vehicle and removes his shades wearily. The driver looks at his watch.
23 hours and 20 minutes, Joey.
Yeah, you did good, Marvin.
Marvin grips the steering wheel and frowns.
Do we have to do this again?
As Marvin twitches his head slightly, Joe gives him a measured look.
I wonder if I'm going to miss bringing families together.
And then puts his sunglasses back on. A clock and its workings appear from the darkness. Charlize Theron. Courtney Love. Stuart Townsend. And Kevin Bacon. Trapped. Superimposed over the clock's fascia, a 4x4 driving along a lakeside. 6 months later. The vehicle parks at the top of a gently sloping wooden walkway overlooking the picturesque lake. A blonde-haired woman, Karen Jennings, gets out of the passenger side and lifts a young girl out of the back seat. To her husband.
Come here, don't go.
Hey, this is for both of us, okay? And for Abby.
It's just that she's growing up so fast. I don't want you to miss any more important moments.
I know. It's almost over. Last time.
When are you gonna take me for a ride?
Well, as a matter of fact,
I booked a cabin up at Whistler this weekend. How about that?
Yes!
You did?
I did.
Okay.
Karen kisses William.
Abby, are you all right?
Yeah, I was just looking at crabs.
He looks relieved.
Daddy, don't worry so much. We'll be fine.
William lifts up his daughter in a warm embrace as Karen looks on.
You look after Mummy, okay?
He puts Abby back down on the jetty.
Will you wiggle your wings after you take off?
Better watch and see.
Wiggle your wings? It's wiggle your wings! Go wiggle your wings!
A seaplane skims over the surface of the lake and lifts into the air. William's at the controls and searches the lake below for his wife and daughter. He spots them on the walkway and nudges the control stick, making the plane wobble from side to side.
He did it! He wiggled his wings!
Now Karen's driving the 4x4 along a narrow road in an affluent rural estate. She takes post from the Jennings post box.
I'm gonna do it.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. Take all the trash mail out for me. Keep getting?
Always.
A vehicle's hidden behind a nearby hedge. The 4x4 disappears up a winding driveway.
All junk. I'll put it on there. Want some ice cream?
Yeah. First.
Okay. Hey, Abby, bring me the clothes in the hamper while you're in there.
Okay.
As Karen wanders into a stylish kitchen in her lakeside home, she leaves through a magazine, stopping at an article headed, "Meet Portland textile designer Karen Jennings." She puts the magazine on a worktop and activates her answer phone.
Karen, are you in? It's Joan. Hello? Listen, I got a free night tonight. Billy's on a sleepover. Call me now.
Abby's in a colourful bathroom, washing her hands in the sink. She dries them. There's breathing apparatus on a worktop behind her. Taking an armful of laundry from a basket, she's about to leave when... Jo smothers her mouth with a hanky. Jo carries Abby, who's now unconscious, to a set of patio doors. Marvin's waiting outside and slides them open. He grabs a doll.
What the hell are you doing?
Well, they're not as nervous if they have something from home.
Shh.
First call 30 from now.
Same as always. Go.
Marvin hesitates before leaving with Abby in his arms. Karen's serving up ice cream. The engine, growling to life outside, draws her attention to a kitchen window, but she sees nothing out of the ordinary.
We could remove the crayon for you.
A glass wind chime in the hallway.
Or it could possibly kill you.
Karen studies it suspiciously.
Abby, what happened to you helping me with the laundry?
Eating a mouthful of ice cream.
I just underwent a procedure to increase my IQ 50 points.
Really?
And
Abby!
They gave me this spiffy nerd.
The TV stuff. Switches off.
Jennings, stay calm. Abby's not here, but she's fine. She's absolutely fine. My name is Joe, and I'm going to help you through this thing.
Abby! Abby!
Having dropped the ice cream bowl, Karen charges through to Abby's bathroom, where she sees the laundry strewn all over the floor. In the nursery, she races up to the patio doors to discover "Bad Idea" has been scrawled in red across them. Distraught, Karen turns around to see Joe calmly watching her. She picks her way back through the nursery. Joe knocks the chimes. Karen seizes the momentary distraction and dashes barefoot upstairs. She rifles through a bedroom wardrobe until a handgun tumbles to her feet. In a lobby, William Jennings carries his luggage over to a concierge.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Dr. Jennings.
Yes, doctor. May I say that several of our guests have mentioned how much they're looking forward to your presentation tonight.
That's nice to hear.
Joe's flicking through the magazine when Karen appears, gun in hand.
Where's my baby?
Whoa, you don't want to shoot me, Mrs. Jennings.
Shut up! Where is she?
Abby is with my cousin. My cousin has a cell phone. If I don't call him every 30 minutes, he's going to kill her. It's as simple as that. And can I just say you definitely look prettier in person?
Sit down!
Look, Mrs. Jennings, nothing is going to happen to Abby as long as nothing happens to me. Okay? You can count on Marvin. He always does exactly what he's told. As long as it's me doing the telling.
What do you want?
With a wry smile.
You're a smart lady. You pick up things really quickly. You do. You see, what we have here is a kidnapping for ransom. But see, it's not just any kidnapping. It's a perfect kidnapping. And I know that for a fact because I've done it 4 times before and I haven't been caught yet.
Take me to her, you son of a bitch.
So see, I know exactly what you're thinking. What happened to the other 4 kids, right? Well, I want you to know that every single one of those kids is right at this moment watching Barney swimming in their pools or riding their ponies or whatever little rich kids do, and all because I gave their parents the power to keep them alive. And they did. They followed the rules. And they let me make my calls to Marvin to keep him safe. Now, Karen.
God.
I hope it's okay that I call you Karen.
He stands up.
You can keep that gun if you want. If it makes you feel any better. But I just want to tell you something about that gun, okay? It kills 2 people with 1 bullet. Me. And Abby.
The anger in Karen's eyes is replaced by fear, and the gun shakes in her nervous hands. Joe tentatively reaches for it.
May I?
She lowers the weapon slightly as his hand touches hers and moves onto the gun's bullet chamber. He grips it and then snatches. With a look of relief, he checks the chamber.
Okay. Thanks.
Casually glancing around.
This is quite a place you got here.
A host of guests in a sumptuous conference hall applaud a speaker.
We are privileged to have with us tonight a young physician I first met when he was a young Irish medical student doing research on the sedative properties of Guinness, if I remember correctly. Since then, I've watched him progress from intern to resident to research scientist and finally, and best of all, I think you'd agree, patent holder. Ladies and gentlemen, our wunderkind, Dr. William Jennings.
William makes his way to the rostra in front of a screen with rest arrays projected on it. Karen to Joe.
Why won't you let me empty our accounts and give you the money now?
Well, for one thing, the banks are closed. For another thing, they look a little suspicious, don't you think? You see, unlike me, most kidnappers are morons. They all get busted the minute they try to go for the ransom money. They try all kinds of complicated shit, but you know, the fact of the matter is that no ransom pickup is safe from the FBI. I mean, you should see the statistics in this country. Damn near 0 kidnappings for ransom are successful. And you know why? It's because of the ransom pickup. That's why I ain't gonna pick up any ransom.
He smirks.
Is that beautiful or what?
Why can't Abby be here right now?
Because this is a machine, okay? This is a machine that runs on fear. Your fear for Abby. Tell me the truth. That's the only thing that kept you from pulling that trigger a minute ago. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right?
Till now, physicians have been unable to use paralyzing relaxants without fear of fatal outcomes or costly lawsuits. That day is over. I am now injecting the patient with rest arrays, developed by myself and the Brown Adams Pharmaceutical Company, and tested in my own clinical trials at Astoria Memorial Hospital in Portland.
William notices a blonde woman in the crowd.
Within seconds, this third-generation variant of atropine counteracts the effects of succinylcholine, restoring full nerve conductivity and muscle function.
Don't you have any feeling for the children you're hurting?
Kid can stand anything for 24 hours. I stood a lot worse for years.
Crouching on the kitchen floor.
What are you talking about 24 hours?
This whole show takes exactly 24 hours. Day's work for a day's pay,
$250,000. Oh, my God. Listen to me. If you wait till tomorrow, Abby could die.
No. You listen to me, okay? We're on a timetable here. Let's get something straight. There are no deviations, no exceptions, and no surprises.
She's asthmatic. She's severely asthmatic. She could have an attack at any time.
Nice try.
Open the drawer you're sitting on. Open it!
He pulls the drawer open to reveal a variety of medications. Picking up a pill bottle, he studies the label. It has Abigail Jennings printed on it.
Anything could bring an attack on. Allergens, smoke, stress. Please tell me your cousin doesn't smoke. Does he smoke? Does he smoke?
Shut up!
Joe punches numbers into his cell phone.
Hey, where are you?
Hey, we're almost there. You're early. What's the matter?
Yeah. Listen. Take a look at the kid. We got a situation here, Marvin.
You want me to take care of her?
No!
Not yet.
Look, it's been over 30 seconds. We better hang up.
Just this once. This is what I want you to do. I want you to take a look at the kid and put your hand on her chest. Is she breathing?
Marvin's anxious.
Hold on.
He reaches over. Joe's got Karen by the throat.
It's kind of like shallow.
All right, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get her inside. And I want you to close the windows and don't let her run around, okay?
She has trouble breathing. Give her strong coffee. The caffeine will help open her airways.
Joe, do you want me to do that?
Yeah. Just call me if there's a problem, okay?
Joe hangs up and knocks Karen aside. Meanwhile, Marvin's twitch causes him to rub his chin on his shoulder several times. As Karen recovers from her near strangulation, Joe points at her as if about to say something, but then restrains himself. Now, after the conference, William's walking into a lift with some colleagues. The blonde woman dashes in as the doors are closing. In the Jennings home, Joe disconnects a laptop from the internet. It's dark outside, and Karen's sitting in a lounge area. Joe walks around behind her, stops and stretches wearily, clutching a beer bottle in his hand.
You would be grateful if I helped your little girl, right?
Karen looks desolate. There's a bruise on her right cheek.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
How would you show me?
Karen blinks slowly, gets up, and turns to face him with her arms folded.
You take me to her first. And then I'll show you.
How does every woman know that? How to be a hooker?
Get the payment up front!
Is that what they're teaching you in home ec when we're in shop?
Nobody has to teach you how to protect your child. You'd know that if you had one.
Joe makes another phone call.
Hey, Marvin. It's me.
We're almost there. She's still asleep.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll call you.
She takes her coat and he grabs her.
They're not there yet.
Leaning towards her.
I'd like to see the bedroom.
He leads her upstairs.
Come on.
A hotel corridor. The blonde woman appears. She's wearing a low-cut green dress. Her hair is in a wavy bob, and she's flicking a business card in her hand.
Hey, Dr. Jennings. Hi.
Can I help you?
Listen, my key card doesn't work. I was wondering if I could use your phone to call down to the desk.
You know, there's house phones right by the elevator.
Oh, yeah, right. That must be such a rush, huh?
What?
Just standing up there and having everybody want to be you. Young guy with a big idea and a big future. I got hot just watching you.
I'm flattered. I'm also married.
Then we can do things that don't count. Because it's something that
Oh, I'm sorry, darling, but I don't think it's gonna happen. You'll find someone. Hey, you'll find 50. Just not me. Come on.
50's no good to me, Doctor, because Abby doesn't have 50 daddies.
What did she say?
Your daughter was kidnapped 3 hours ago, and if you want her to live through the night, you're gonna leave me in that room right now.
She has a gun.
I'm calling the police.
She jams the gun in the door, then barges in.
You call the cops, the house, whatever, you may as well put a bullet into Abby's brain.
He hangs up.
I have to make a phone call in the next 5 minutes. If anything stops me from making that phone call, your kid is dead.
Okay, what do I have to do to get my little girl back?
You're in a whole new world, Dr. Jennings. Right now, my partner has your wife at your house.
My wife.
And your little girl's being held at a third location.
Where?
When you calm down, I'm going to make a phone call. After that, this phone is going to ring every 30 minutes. And if I don't say things are cool, you may as well pick out a 3-foot casket.
Where's my little girl?
I don't know. I don't know where your little girl is. I only know she's being held someplace that the police couldn't possibly get to in the 30 minutes between our phone calls.
That's not good enough.
Sit down.
Marvin shoves open the door to a cabin that's littered with clocks. He gently lays the unconscious Abby down on a sofa and then pulls a blanket over her. He strokes her soft blonde hair away from her face and then puts his ear to her chest. William to his blonde captor.
You skipped the part about us getting Abby back.
Tomorrow morning your wife is going to wire $250,000 to a local bank. You're going to go pick up that money. After you give it to me, your wife and your child will be let go with inside of each other. Okay?
How's she going to explain that?
Oh, please. She's going to call your broker and she's going to say that you stumbled onto another painting that you simply have to add to your crappy little art collection. We've got this whole thing covered, Doctor, all right? You follow the rules, you get Abby back. It's that simple.
You think I believe that after I've seen your face?
This is the fifth time we've done this. All the other parents saw our faces and not one of them went to the police. You know why? Because if you go to the police, they'll start looking for us and we'll know. And my partner will come back and he will kill your child.
William looks unsettled. Meanwhile, Marvin stops working on a wood carving and casts a worried look over at Abby, who's now lying on her side. A clock on the wall in front of him shows the time as approaching 8:30. He picks up the phone.
Hi.
Marvin, is everything all right?
He nods.
Marvin!
Fine. She's been sleeping.
I'll call you to have.
Marvin nods and hangs up. Abby sits up with a start.
Mommy?
Your mommy's not here right now, Abby. I'm Marvin. She asked me to keep
Where
you for
is
a
she?
While. No, I mean, just for tonight.
Where is she?
She had to go to a party, hey?
Oh, my mom.
No, look, it's okay. Hey. No, it's okay. We're going to be fine here tonight. It's going to go by really
Mommy.
Fast. No, it's going to go by real fast.
My mom.
No, wait. Can you say Marvin?
Mommy!
Stop that! I don't like it when little girls cry.
He claps his hands to his bald head and then reaches for the doll he stole.
Hey. If you're good and you promise to not run away, you can play with her.
He sets the doll on the end of the sofa. In the hotel room, Cheryl, William's captor, slides a set of glass doors closed, shutting William into a lounge area. She then makes a call on a mobile.
Hey, honey, where are you?
I got him in the room.
What took you so long?
Problems?
What kind of problems?
He's difficult. He's not like the other ones, okay? He doesn't get it.
Okay. Okay. Put him on, I'll straighten it out.
Cheryl slides open one of the doors.
Phone call for you, Dr. Jennings.
Hello?
Dr. Will Jennings.
This is Dr. Jennings. Who is this?
You can call me Joe, Will.
Is my wife there?
Yeah. Yeah, she's right here, actually. Right here with me. You should see her face. She's just now starting to get the picture. Would you like to talk to her?
Yes.
Okay, but keep it short and sweet, all right? This is actually my favorite part, you know, where the happy couples get to talk to each other.
Well,
Karen, are you all right?
They took Abby somewhere.
Hey, don't worry, it's gonna be fine. I'm gonna work this out.
Are you okay? Where are you?
You got a beautiful bedroom, Doc. I gotta tell you, the view is unbelievable. Inside and out. But you know, I'm looking at a picture of Abby right now, and I gotta tell you, I don't see you, man. I don't see you at all. She's the spitting image of your wife, you know? Kinda makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Listen,
Joe. We've clearly got a difficult situation, but you let me know what you need.
I'll make it happen quickly and quietly. Anything you say, okay?
Oh, okay. So this is your bedside manner, right?
I don't want to upset you, Joe, but I need you to listen. My daughter has asthma.
Oh, tell me something I don't know.
3.5 minutes without air and Abby's brain starts to die.
That's what you're dealing with. Look, Abby needs to be with Karen. If not that, she needs her medicine. That is what is going to put control back in your hands.
Back in my hands? I'm the doctor tonight. I'm the one that decides whether or not your little girl lives or dies. Please don't make me prove it. I'll put my partner back on.
William coldly passes the phone back to Cheryl, who looks unsettled.
Hey, how come we didn't know about this asthma thing? How could you miss that, Joey?
I don't like it.
Like, I give a shit what you like. You just keep an eye on him, all right?
She hangs up and chucks the phone onto the bed. William studies her every move.
Who is that guy?
That's my husband.
Joe's kneeling on the bed astride Karen. He leans down with her head in his hands.
I wonder if he knows what he's got.
Emotions welling up, she shrugs him off and he stands up. He turns to face her. She's sitting up and grips the sheets tightly in her fists while he tucks the gun into his trousers. He then looks her over.
Get your car keys.
Abby's breathing's restricted to short, sharp intakes.
It's time to go. Here, hop up.
She stands as Marvin shakes out a dusty sheet she was sitting on.
You keep this wrapped around you when we go outside, okay? Because the heater's busted. Now, when we get back from this little ride, you're gonna get to watch some TV. Because you've been good. Hey.
She slumps forward.
What's the matter?
This is all dusty.
What?
I get it. Dusty.
Dusty. Oh, here. There. Look, it's gone. It's gone.
Air. My chest. I can't breathe. My puffer.
Your what?
My medicine. Mommy didn't make it.
Marvin taps his head.
Coffee. They said coffee. Coffee will help. Coffee. Coffee.
Mommy.
Hang on, sweetheart.
Okay, time to put this on.
Go on, put it around your eyes.
Karen reluctantly takes the blindfold.
It's almost 9 o'clock.
She looks at Joe and then eyes the road ahead before securing the blindfold on her face.
Hang on, Kate.
Marvin dashes to Abby's side, crouches down, and makes her drink some of the cold coffee he's prepared. He makes her sip some more, but she spits it out. Joe taps his hand on the steering wheel in a pensive mood.
So talk to me. I'd like to hear the sound of your voice.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, why don't you tell me how you met Dr. Will?
Karen remains silent.
You don't want to talk about that, huh? Sore subject. Well, let's see if I can guess. You were a nurse, and you put him through med school, and then you quit to have the baby, am I right?
How did you know that?
Well, I'm just an excellent judge of character.
Joe pulls up on a dark and misty wooded road.
Are we here?
He stops her, removing the blindfold.
Marvin will be here soon. You will not get emotional, but you will not freak out. We'll give the kid her medicine, and then we're gonna go.
I understand.
Yeah, you better make sure that you do, because I'm gonna have a gun on you every second. Abby's gonna go a little crazy when you leave. But you're gonna tough it out. Just like the first day of school, you remember that, right? If you flip out, and if you try to run, I will shoot you. I'm not gonna shoot her. I'm gonna shoot you with her daddy's gun. And she will have nightmares for the rest of her life. Now get your stuff.
Mommy!
Mommy!
Abby!
Mommy!
Abby!
In the headlights of the two vehicles, Karen picks Abby up and hugs her tightly. Marvin's pacing anxiously. Joe steps closer, the gun behind his back.
One, two, three. One more time. There you go. You're gonna be fine, okay? There you go.
With cold indifference, Joe watches Abby receive her medicine and then goes over to Marvin.
Okay.
Doing okay?
She nearly died, Joey. She scared me to death.
But she's okay. She's got her medicine now. She's fine.
She's just like Katie.
No, she's not. She is not. She's another little girl. She's some lucky little doctor's kid that you give a pill to, and everything is fine. You understand me?
It sounded the same.
It's not the same, Mark.
Someone's right here.
Abby swallows down more medication with some bottled water.
Did he hurt you?
No.
No? He hasn't hurt you?
No.
I know, baby. I know you want to go home. Just a little bit longer, okay? Okay, and then I'm gonna come and get you. Put some warm clothes on. Is he nice, Abby?
Yeah.
Yeah? Where is he keeping you?
In a cabin.
A cabin?
Yeah.
Is it far from here?
Not that far.
No? Does he have a gun?
No.
No gun? Listen to me. You do everything he says.
Okay.
But only if he's nice to you. And if you go to the bathroom, you go by yourself, okay? Don't let him go with you.
Listen to me. We had a little wrinkle, but we're back on track now, all right? Just like the other four times. Is that clear?
No, it's different. The medicine, it's...
It's not
it's different.
It's not different. We've gone over this 100,000 times. We're back to the plan. I'm going to talk to you every half hour. End of story. Are you okay?
Are you okay? make me again.
I have to, baby. Just till the morning, okay?
Okay, time to go. Marvin.
Look, I am begging you. Just let me stay with her till the morning, please.
Karen, just to see how nice I'm talking to you now. That's good for her. That's good for her to hear. You don't want that to change, do you?
Okay. Honey, you're gonna be fine.
No!
You're gonna be fine.
Mama!
It's okay, baby. Mama! I love you. Mama!
Marvin returns to his vehicle with Abby and her medication. Karen races over to her daughter until Joe yanks her back by her hair and drags her away.
No, no, no. I'm in my baby. Oh.
Joe shoves her into the passenger side of his 4x4. Karen looks haggard and tearful. Joe gets in the driver's side.
Shit.
Reaching for the blindfold.
Put this on.
Karen watches Marvin reverse the truck. She attacks Joe when he leans towards her and only stops when he shoves her back and draws his gun. In his hotel room, William sitting on a chair, looking deeply concerned. Cheryl's mobile rings.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, put the doc on.
What are you guys doing?
Kid got her medicine, everything's cool, so put the doc on.
Okay. It's for you.
Lying on the bed, she holds the phone out for William, who takes it and sits nearby.
Hello?
Hey, Will, how you doing? I got a little news update for you. Here's the little lady.
Will?
Oh, baby. Are you okay? What's happening?
We saw Abby. She had an attack.
Did you treat her? Is she all right?
She's fine for now. I left her medicine with her, but she's miles away from a hospital.
Karen? Karen!
Whoa. Hey, calm down, college boy. The kid got a little upset. That's all. Mommy fixed it up. There were some tears, some screams. You know how it is. Everything's fine now. So listen, have fun, okay?
William looks distraught and slumps onto the sofa close to tears. Cheryl studies him with a look of interest. She gets off the bed and walks over to him, then holds something out.
Do you need a hanky, baby?
He belts her across the face. She goes for him, but gets thrown to the floor, revealing her bruised torso. He snatches the gun off the bed and aims.
What happened to you?
I like it rough sometimes. Why, you don't have that kind of fun?
You didn't get that from fun.
What?
That's a beating. And not just one.
Oh, really? It is? Wow, will you drive me to the battered women's shelter?
He holds out a dressing gown.
Put it on.
Oh. Okay, Daddy.
She slips her dress off and puts on the robe.
I need to ask you a question, Cheryl. Are you really committed to this kidnapping? Because I have a funny feeling that you're not. I have a feeling that Joe is the one who gets us kicked out of this, not you.
What makes you think I would ever sell him out? Why don't you stop trying to press my buttons? I just let this happen the way it has every other time.
This isn't like every other time. Abby is sick and you missed that and Joe fucked up. What are you going to do if my little daughter dies? Have you even thought about that? Because that is all I'm thinking about right now.
She studies his worried expression for a moment.
You want me to tell Joe you got the gun on me when he calls?
William backs away slowly, his jaw clenched tightly. He then throws the gun on the bed. Abby.
Miss Katie.
Katie?
That's what you called me when I was sick.
She was a little girl, just like you. She's in heaven now.
Marvin's holding his wood carving.
I have a cat in heaven. Were you her daddy?
He shakes his head.
She was my family. And my friend. She died 2 years ago. You know, when you die, you stay the same age. So she'll be 6 forever. Hey, maybe she knows your cat.
That would be kind of a coincidence.
William turns to Cheryl as her phone rings.
Yeah.
Hey, baby. We're almost back to the house. Is everything cool?
No, it's not.
Doctor flipped out.
What did he do?
He hit me.
William looks away nervously. Joe sighs.
Put him on.
She holds out the phone, and William snatches it.
I'm sorry, I lost my head, but it won't happen again, okay?
What did you hit her with?
The phone. Not hard.
Mm-hmm. You need to listen now.
What are you doing? Jesus, Karen!
Oh, shit. Now I got blood on my phone.
He's hit Karen with it.
Are we clear? Do you understand how this works?
Please don't hurt my wife.
Likewise, asshole. Well, I did my good deed for the day. I don't know about you, but I'm famished. Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you go sit down, and I'll make us some dinner. How's that sound? A little foreplay never hurt anybody. All right, let's see what we got here. Oh, no messages? Oh. You know, that's the great thing about an anesthesiologist. They don't have to deal with any pesky patients. Most doctors come home, they got a million phone calls. But my man Will's got it all worked out, doesn't he? He comes home, he's got plenty of time to kick back for a nice romantic dinner with his trophy wife. Hey, I'm really sorry that... I'm sorry that that had to happen.
Her bruised cheek.
I got an idea. You got any makeup in here?
Searching her bag.
Let me get you fixed up.
She glares at him as he covers the bruise with some foundation. He sits back to admire his handiwork. He then gently pushes her hair back.
Pretty as new.
He walks behind her and smells her hair. She sneers and looks repulsed as he strokes her neck and leans in to kiss it.
My neighbor.
Karen?
Answer the door and act.
You got it?
Anything crazy.
It's up to you.
Joe walks away, keeping his back to the patio door. Karen slides it open.
John, it's really late. You should have called. I saw your light. I know it's late, but I'm on my way to pick up Billy. You know when a sleepover goes bad, honey? You know what I mean. Anyway, since I'm out, I take a chance I can pick up that disc for the, you know, for the auction. Hey, Will. Oh, sorry, I thought you were Will.
No, Joan, this is...
I'm Joe. I'm a friend of Will's.
Oh. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Joe? So where's Will? Another conference. Oh. What else? I'm gonna get you that disc. Mm. Well, I guess you should have told Joe here. Could have saved him a trip.
Oh, Karen and I can struggle on without Will.
Joan gives him a curious look, and then takes a seat at the kitchen counter.
So how do you know Will?
We work together at Northside General.
He means Astoria Memorial, downtown. I was about to say, Will hasn't worked at Northside for over a year now.
Well, yeah, that's where I met him.
Yeah.
Joe stares at Karen, who passes her friend a compact disc.
Oh, Joan... Joe is my friend, not Will's.
Joan looks at them both.
So, I'd appreciate it if you didn't mention this to anyone, you know?
Of course not. I wouldn't. Of course not. Thanks.
Hey, I'm gonna open some wine.
Oh, shit.
He glances back momentarily as he crosses the kitchen.
God, Karen. Do you know what you're doing?
Abby's not here, is she?
She's upstairs.
She's sleeping, though.
Don't tell anybody about this.
I won't. I had no idea you guys were having problems. All right?
Yeah, I'm fine. You look a little frazzled.
No, I'm fine. I just, you know, we can't talk right now. You know, we're about to have dinner, so I'll talk to you about it later, okay? Here's the desk. I'm here for you.
Bye, Will. I mean, bye, Joe.
Bye.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
That's scary. Like that.
Joan leaves, much to Karen's relief. As she closes the patio door, Joe's right behind her.
She's still watching us through the window.
He waves over Karen's shoulder and kisses her.
She buys it now. And don't fight me. Or it's gonna look wrong. Come on. Give it all you got.
She forces herself to kiss him, but doesn't close her eyes.
Hey, you're good. But you could be better.
Karen looks outside and then pushes Joe's hands away. He hangs his head with a cheeky schoolboy smirk.
I could have sworn she was out there.
He smiles, but she has nothing but hate in her eyes. After fixing him with an icy stare, she walks away. He smiles contentedly and puts his hands behind his head. William walks in on Cheryl taking a bath. He eyes her midriff and sits down.
So you have a kid? C-section scar.
No, I had an ovary taken out.
Wrong kind of scar. I'm a doctor, Cheryl. I know what I'm looking at. How can you do this when you have a child of your own? I mean, for God's sake, bring this to an end.
Having finished his dinner, Joe stretches.
Oh, baby.
He sips the last of his red wine.
That was good, if I do say so myself.
To Karen.
You should eat. You need your strength.
He struts off with a gun in his hand.
Oh, God, I stink. Well, let's see what Big Will has here in the laundry room for me tomorrow.
The moment Karen's alone, she sneaks over to her laptop and types an email message to Will. He knows you from Northside General, but a connection failure message pops up when she tries to send it.
So is this a sexy shirt? This is Saturday morning. Let's get down to business. Make me feel like I'm 21 again, sure. Let me guess. You guys do it, and then you end up wearing it. Am I right?
He pulls the loose-fitting blue sports t-shirt over his head.
How's it look on me?
How do you pick the families you go after?
Well, they gotta be rich. They gotta have kids the right age. And the moms have to be pretty.
And they have to be doctors, right? So where did you get your names from? Where did you get your names from? How did you know about Northside General? Did you work there? Is that how you know Will? Where are you going?
He walks away through the house. Karen stops at the end of a hallway.
What are you doing?
Come here.
He's standing at the entrance to Abby's bedroom. Karen moves towards him reluctantly. She looks unnerved by his intense, penetrating frown.
Take a look.
Abby's empty bed, with the duvet thrown back.
That's why we're not going to have any trouble playing house tonight.
She shivers as he runs his hand down her back. William manages to take the gun from Cheryl, who's drifted off to sleep. He looks at it thoughtfully, and moments later is depositing its ammunition into a side drawer. The noise causes Cheryl to stir, but she doesn't wake, and William is able to replace the weapon undetected. Joe beckons Karen over to her bed. After a moment, she moves towards him. As she draws close, he reaches out and takes her hand, then leans in to kiss her. As his hands wander down her body, she whispers,
"Does your wife know that this is part of your plan?"
He looks at her and smiles.
"I've got no secrets from my wife."
His hand moves under the strap of her camisole, and he starts to slip it off her shoulder, but she stops him. She smiles weakly, and he laughs.
"You're shy."
His hand moves up to her face and briefly covers her mouth.
"How can a woman that looks like you be shy?"
She steps back towards the bathroom, redressing her camisole and blouse as she goes. Reflected in the wardrobe mirror, he's watching her and shifts with eager anticipation. She backs all the way into the bathroom and closes the door behind her. She's about to lock it when...
"You okay?"
"Yeah, just a minute."
"Okay."
He leaves the door ajar. She moves over to the two sinks and quickly turns on both sets of taps before rifling through shelves of toiletries.
"Excuse me, pardon me."
Marvin's watching a cartoon on a television at the cabin. He checks his watch.
"Aren't you tired yet?"
"My pills keep me up. I'm kinda hungry."
"Oh, yeah. Me too. Let's see. Well, there's soup and a microwave. Oh, there's popcorn. We should have that to watch the movie."
"Okay. Bathroom."
Abby slips some of her pills into her pocket. She goes into the bathroom while Marvin moves into the kitchen to get started on making popcorn. Abby peers around the bathroom door. Meanwhile, Karen's washing her face. She stares at her reflection in a mirror, and in doing so, notices a leather bag on a shelf over her shoulder. She snatches it, and after a quick search, finds a scalpel. Joe's in the bedroom, and removes the t-shirt he put on earlier to reveal his lean, muscular torso. Looking around, he decides to drape the item of clothing over a bedside lamp. In the bathroom, Karen carefully conceals the scalpel in the cleft of her buttocks beneath her underwear. Marvin puts a packet of popcorn into a microwave. While he's busy in the kitchen, Abby sneaks back into the lounge and takes the phone before sneaking out the cabin door. She hurries along a porch, down the front steps, and disappears into the night. Oblivious, Marvin takes a saucepan. At home, Karen emerges slowly from the bathroom in her black underwear and camisole. The bed is still neatly made, and Joe's nowhere to be seen. She scans the room anxiously. Alerted by the wind chimes, she peers out into the hall and then moves back towards the bed. Joe's reflected in the mirror behind her, approaching. She holds up a glass of red wine.
You scared me.
Her hands are shaking, but she manages to sip the wine while he looks her over.
Wow. You are a beautiful woman.
What do you want to do?
Putting the gun down.
Well, why don't you tell me what you and Will do? And we will do the opposite.
And his phone. He turns to face her.
I mind if we don't talk about him?
Hey, you know, no offense, but from the looks of him, I'd be surprised if he knew what to do with you.
He runs his fingers down her back, kneels, and kisses her navel. She starts to guide his hands over her body, pressing one against her breast while holding the glass of wine in her other hand.
You think you do?
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna let you be the judge of that.
He plants a kiss high up on her thigh and her eyes roll back in disgust. Bringing the wine glass to her lips, she takes a large mouthful whilst remaining mindful not to let his hands wander around the back of her. Then she puts the glass to one side and shoves him back on the bed. She moves down his body, maintaining eye contact with him, and starts to undo his trousers.
You're not like the other moms.
She tugs his trousers off and kneels between his legs with a seductive gaze. He gives her a curious look.
Close your eyes.
I like to watch.
She slowly lowers her head down onto his chest and plants a kiss there before looking up at him and putting her thumb in his mouth. She then pushes his head back and turns her attentions further down his body whilst using the momentary distraction to take the scalpel out from the back of her underwear. After some subtle manipulation with her fingers, she's able to grip the surgical implement firmly. Checking that he's still holding his head back in ecstasy, she then slowly brings the knife round in front of her.
Don't move. Not an inch.
What's that?
It's a scalpel. It will take your equipment off so easy you'll barely even feel it.
Jesus Christ.
And call Marvin.
Look, you've got the guts.
I will castrate you with no more thought than slicing a chicken's neck. Do it!
Take it easy.
He carefully reaches for the phone, which is resting on a pillow.
Say.
Tell Marvin you already have the money. Tell him to put Abby in his truck and to drive her over here right now. Is it ringing?
Hang on.
Is it ringing?
The phone rings in Abby's hand. Marvin.
Abby? Ready?
He's prepared some soup and a bowl of popcorn.
Shit.
He's not answering.
When Marvin bursts into the bathroom and discovers it empty, he starts pacing through the cabin with a growing sense of urgency. Then he runs to the front door and throws it open.
Abby! Don't run away from me! Abby!
She's muffling the ringtone in her fleece, but Marvin's heard it.
You dialed the wrong number.
No, I swear to God.
You dialed the wrong fucking number.
I swear to God.
Where the fuck isn't he picking up?
Abby! I told you not to run away! Abby!
She runs deeper into woodland.
Why isn't he answering?
The fuck do I know? It went to voicemail. Here, listen.
Where's my
daughter? Joe kicks her off, but gets sliced. His hands covered in blood.
You got me. Your kid is dead, bitch.
She locks herself into the bathroom with the phone and the gun.
Hey! You missed!
You fucking missed!
Karen pulls out an electronic notebook from amongst her things on the bathroom floor and sends the following message to Will. Something's wrong. He knows you from Northside. This is personal. He's going to kill Abby, Kay. Then the house phone rings.
Mommy! Abby, where are you?
I don't know. In the woods. I ran outside. Mommy, come get me.
Abby, listen to me.
Mommy!
Abby, listen to your mom. Run! Run as fast as you can. Find a road. Stop a car and call 911, okay? Just get out of there. Don't let him catch you.
Mommy, I'm scared.
You're gonna be fine, baby. I'm coming to get you. Just run, okay?
Fucking door!
Abby!
Abby!
Marvin's torch beam hits Abby.
Fucking door!
Hey!
He grabs her.
I'm sorry, lady, but she shouldn't have run away.
Open the fucking door!
My baby,
Ben. Joe bursts into the bathroom, but Karen's armed.
You tell him to not hurt my daughter. Tell him.
Marvin. If you hear a shot, kill the kid.
Marvin lifts the girl onto his shoulders, while Karen surrenders the gun to Joe, who then doubles over in pain from his slashed thigh. He gives her a seething glare.
You just made your second mistake.
William's pager buzzes, and he deactivates it. Cheryl's brushing her teeth.
I need to use the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
I said I hope they shrivel up and fall off.
He closes the bathroom door and reads the message from Karen. He looks up, shocked.
I understand everything, Mr. Donnelly. I don't need to have it explained to me.
Engrossed in a TV show, Cheryl doesn't notice William sneak his medical case into the bathroom. He unzips it and starts to assemble a tranquilizer gun.
Read that.
Throwing the pager down in front of Cheryl.
That's a message from my wife.
What about Jenna?
Where's Abby, Cheryl?
I don't know.
This is succinylcholine, Cheryl. If I inject this into your body, you'll be paralyzed. You'll be able to see, hear, and think, but you won't be able to move, and you won't be able to breathe.
The fuck are you doing, man?
Cheryl, I have seen murderers turned into whimpering babies by this stuff, but you have a choice. You can tell me where Joe is holding Abby, or you can find out what it feels like to die.
If I pull this trigger, you will be dead.
He fixes her with an intense stare.
Pull it.
William suddenly jabs the tranquilizer into her neck.
No! No! Fuck!
Don't fight it, Cheryl.
She goes into a momentary spasm, then falls limp. William throws the gun aside and gets off the bed. He checks his watch and picks up a monitoring device.
I know you can hear me. You're trying to struggle, aren't you? Telling your arms to move, but they won't. You want to breathe, but you can't. Unless I give you the antidote.
Straddling her, he clips a heart rate monitor onto her finger, which also records her blood's oxygen level.
It's like living death, isn't it, Cheryl? Maybe you feel almost as frightened as my little girl does right now.
and we are going to do this over and over until you tell me where she is, or until I can't bring you back.
He glances at the monitor and then his watch.
Now, you remember what I told Joe? 3.5 minutes without air and the brain is dying. Yeah, well, you're almost there, Cheryl. Remember what this feels like.
Her stats fall. He picks up a syringe and injects her in the neck. He stares into her lifeless eyes and slips a hand behind her head.
Where's Abby?
He pins her down.
Where is she?
Is that where my baby fell?
What?
Is that where my baby fell? When you killed her.
What are you talking about?
Get my wallet.
William sits up, opens her handbag and pulls out a black wallet. Inside is a picture of a little girl with blonde hair.
Turn it over.
A picture of the girl without hair.
Oh, God. Katie Hickey.
Yeah, Katie Hickey.
Well, you think I killed Katie?
I know you did. The surgeon told me that you did.
Told you what?
You didn't resuscitate her right. You didn't control her bleeding. Didn't monitor her pressure.
I remember every detail of Katie's case. She had Wilms' tumor. The surgeon had difficulty trying to remove it. He cut into a major artery and he couldn't control the bleeding.
He said she was fine when she went into recovery. He said Katie's operation went well.
Well, he lied to you, Cheryl. He told you Katie died in recovery to protect himself so that you wouldn't think it was his fault. Jesus. And this is why you chose us. Joe wants revenge.
None of the kids get hurt.
Cheryl, you have to tell me where my daughter is.
She looks to one side with a torn expression.
There's a cabin east of here somewhere, the Cascades.
Okay. It's time to make the call.
Karen sutured Joe's leg wound.
You think you're smarter than all the other moms. But you're not. Because see, they didn't hurt me. And their kids are still alive.
He's pale and trembling.
I want you to think about Marvin now. Sitting there. Watching the clock. Waiting.
Marvin standing in the middle of the cabin, looking around at the clocks. Abby's watching him. He stares at the phone with a resigned look.
It's time. It's time to play a game. First, you have to close your eyes.
Abby does as she's told.
Joe.
Karen looks at him pleadingly.
She's my daughter.
Tears well up in her blue eyes.
She's my little girl.
Shivering under the blanket he's wrapped in, Joe looks away in mock contemplation, then smiles. Marvin to Abby.
Okay, now, what you have to do is you have to think nice thoughts. Pretty thoughts.
I'm thinking about my mommy.
Yeah, that's it. She's pretty. She's pretty and she loves you very much.
The clocks show the time as very nearly 3:30.
Now, I want you to stay very still.
His hand is barely inches from her neck as the final few seconds slip away. Marvin hesitates and then moves away from Abby to answer the phone.
Joey?
Everything's all right now. Everything's cool. It's gonna be over soon.
Just like the other times, right? Right?
Yeah. Just like the other times.
Joe hangs up and throws the phone on the bed. Karen picks up the suturing implements and shares a look with Joe.
I'm going to follow your plan. You don't have to worry about me. And you'll get your money.
She hangs her head, and Joe shakes his in thought.
Did you ever think that maybe this wasn't about the money? I mean, did that ever cross your mind? That a guy like me could be motivated by something other than greed.
William's on the phone.
Hank, wake up, it's an emergency.
Yeah, what happened?
Look, my child is in danger, but you can help her. But before I tell you anything, you gotta promise me not to call the police.
I don't understand.
My daughter was kidnapped last night. I can't go to the police, because if I do, the kidnappers will kill her. Do you understand?
Yes.
They're using phones on the Wirecell network. I'm hoping, I am praying that a vice president of Wirecell can trace those calls for me.
Abby's fallen asleep, hugging her doll. A hand nudges her awake, and she looks around, bleary-eyed.
Can I go home now?
Pretty soon. Go home and see your mommy. We have to wait for a phone call. Then we can go. Those are the rules.
It's dawn. Joe.
It's funny, you know, that they always do it the same with the clouds and the sun and the flowers.
He's studying a framed painting.
She does the hands good, though, you know. They have trouble with that, but she's good.
It's by Abby, showing her with her mum and dad. Joe lowers the painting and looks out across the lake with a pained, tearful expression.
It's a bad day, isn't it?
I know. I know you have kids, Joe.
His expression darkens, and he shakes his head.
Don't think that you know me.
He looks at the painting, then hangs his head wearily.
Okay. Come on. Put a smile on. It's showtime.
In the hotel suite.
Hello?
We got something for you, Dr. Jennings.
Yeah?
A cell phone logging onto a tower every 30 minutes like clockwork.
And where is it?
Well, it's near a place called Zilla in the Eastern Cascades. We can put a tracing vehicle in the area. We've got one that's about 45 minutes away.
I'll do it, do it.
But to do that, I gotta talk to somebody above me about what we're doing here.
No.
That means bringing in the authorities.
Look, I'm begging you, you can't
bring... You're gonna get us both killed!
What are you doing?
You're gonna get us both killed when Joey finds out you've been tracing his calls.
Yeah, well then, don't tell him. Look, you gotta explain to him the truth about Katie's death.
He's not gonna believe a word I fucking say. He's just gonna accuse me of betraying him.
Look, I gotta phone this guy back or he's gonna call the police.
It's time to go to the bank.
Joe limps out of the Jennings' home with Karen and passes her some keys.
You drive.
He makes a call.
Hey, it's me. Yeah, I know. We're on our way.
What time's it gonna get there? Okay, we'll be there.
William and Cheryl are on the move as well. Karen drives the SUV away from her lakeside house and pulls up some time later outside an office block. She gets out and hurries into the building.
Morning, Gray. I can tell by the look on your face you just got that call from Will.
$250,000 for a painting in cash.
I know, and he needs the money wired to the bank in Seattle by 10, otherwise the painting goes on auction.
The SUV's back on the road, but Joe's distracted by a helicopter hovering overhead.
We got company.
You're being paranoid.
Yeah?
It could be a traffic chopper.
Oh, fuck it. It doesn't matter now, anyway. Pull into that lot.
Karen leaves the road and drives into the parking lot.
All right, there, Cheryl. Pull over.
Where's Abby? Is Abby with her?
Put your window up.
All right, slow down. I don't want her to panic. Pull in right here.
The moment Karen's parked, Joe gets out and limps over to a woman.
Hey, how you doing today?
Oh, my God, what are you doing? Stop!
You got 1 second to get in that fucking car! Lock the door!
Having knocked out the woman and bundled her into the boot of the car, they get into the front seats and Joe speeds away. The helicopter remains hovering above the car park as Joe drives off.
You see that? You see those fucking assholes? I am a goddamn genius. See you, boys. Happy hunting.
William and Cheryl park outside a stylish office building.
You've got 7 minutes. No, don't make me call him.
He gets out and enters the building.
Hello, I'm Dr. Will Jennings.
Oh, yes, Doctor. Mr. Hibbing would like to speak with you.
What for? Look, I'm sorry, I'm in a bit of a rush.
It'll only take a minute, just a formality. Would you follow me, please?
Hello, Dr. Jennings. As you can see, we have your money. Sit down, please.
I'm sorry, I'm in a bit of a rush. What's the holdup?
Dr. Jennings, I'm Special Agent Bill Chalmers of the FBI. We received a tip this morning that your daughter had been kidnapped. Now, we and a lot of other people are here to help you get your daughter back.
How?
Your daughter's best chance of rescue is at the ransom exchange. Now, our SWAT teams are training constantly in this kind of scenario, but in order for them to do their job, they have to hear what's going on at the drop. We need you to wear a transmitter, a wire.
Look, if this guy knows that you guys are involved, he's going to kill my daughter. Do you understand that?
Trust me, we know what we're doing. Our time is running out. Will you wear the wire?
Looking haggard, William glances from one FBI agent to the other.
All right.
Cheryl starts the car as William leaves the bank with the briefcase.
It took you so long.
They drive away. William opens the briefcase and Cheryl checks a wad of cash.
Out of sequence. No new bills? Excellent. Stick it in this bag. Quick.
Meanwhile, in the stolen car, Joe checks his watch. He's looking pale and sweaty as he makes a call.
You got the money yet?
Yeah, I got it.
Is there anything you want to tell me?
No.
No.
Okay, I'm bringing it back to the hotel. Where's the meat?
Don't worry about that right now. This is what I want you to do. I want you to fly out of Seattle this afternoon, commercial. Use your cold passport. Marvin and I are going to meet you at the destination. You got that?
Why? The three of us are supposed to travel together. No, why?
Listen to me. There's been complications. This is better for everyone, okay? It's safer.
No, Joey, you don't change the fucking plan. You don't break your own rules. That's how you get in trouble. Do you remember that? You don't break your own fucking rules.
I make fucking rules, all right? I make them, and I can fucking break them. Now just shut the fuck up and do what you're told. For fuck's sake.
Joey, what are you doing? You're not gonna hurt anybody, right? We don't need to do that. We don't hurt people. I got all the money. We are fucking home free. We did
right,
what we needed
right,
to do.
Absolutely,
let's just
absolutely.
Fucking go.
No, but hurt anybody? What are you talking about? What makes you think I'm gonna hurt anybody? This is just a, you know, it's just a cleaner exit. That's all. It's just a cleaner exit. Hey, I got a surprise for you, baby. It's like a once in a lifetime thing, man. It's gonna be great down there. Fucking great. Look, I gotta get off now.
No, Joey, don't go.
I'll see you later.
Cheryl's lip trembles as she hangs up.
What's going on? Cheryl, you can't pretend anymore. You know what he's gonna do if you don't stop.
I can't stop. I gotta bring you back to the hotel. He's gonna call randomly. I have to bring you back there.
Look, you have to convince Joe that I didn't kill Katie.
Listen to me.
I'm gonna help you get out of this with your money, with your conscience, and with Joey, but you have to tell him the truth about Katie. You have to stop.
Now Marvin's driving his utility truck. Abby's with him. His phone rings and he looks at the display before answering.
Marvin, it's Cheryl.
You're breaking the rules.
Marvin, no, listen to me. It's Joey who's breaking the rules. Joey's breaking the rules. Joey's gonna hurt that little girl. He might kill her. We have to help him.
You're not supposed to call me.
Marvin!
He hangs up. Cheryl throws down her phone. Concerned, William surreptitiously removes his wire and drops it out the open window. Elsewhere, the FBI agents are listening in.
He killed the wire. All units maintain visual on the target, but do not approach under any circumstances.
Look, I have an idea. Drive me to the waterfront.
Later, on the jetty.
Yeah, give me the front desk manager, Mr. Holden. It's an emergency.
This is Mr. Holden. May I help you?
This is Dr. Will Jennings, the speaker at the medical convention. When we spoke yesterday?
Yes, of course, doctor.
We're all set up for the press conference in the main salon.
No, it's not about that. Look, I'm not in the hotel right now, but I need someone to think I am. Can you forward my calls?
Yes.
We can arrange that.
Great.
Nearby, the FBI are watching as William starts up his seaplane with Cheryl in the passenger seat. She glances out of the window with a nauseous look on her face as he skims across the water and takes to the air. The FBI agents dash into a helicopter, which is soon scouring the sky. Karen looks at Joe as he checks his watch and makes another call while driving along a woodland road.
Here's your Grand Hotel. Dr. William Jennings' room. Thank you. One
moment. The phone operator forwards the call. In the seaplane...
Where are we going?
We're heading towards Zilla. It's the only thing I know to do at this point.
Joey, is it for you and me?
First call. It's for me, that's my guess. We can't let him hear the plane, though. I've got to cut the engine.
The plane goes into a dive.
Hello?
Hey there, college boy.
Just checking to make sure you're there.
The altimeter gauge plunges, and the surface of the lake looms ahead.
Stay put now.
Okay.
The second Joe hangs up, William restarts the engine and yanks the control stick back. The glistening lake rushes past as the plane eventually levels out and then climbs back into the sky.
Okay, it's okay. We've got enough altitude as long as the calls are quick.
A subdued Karen is staring out of the passenger window as Joe drives.
Abby and Marvin should be just a couple miles up ahead now.
He taps the wheel. Karen looks ahead with concern. Meanwhile, Marvin glances over at Abby.
Hey, Abby. I made you something.
It's a wooden carving of a bear with glasses holding a little girl who's perched on its knee. In the seaplane...
This'll be for you. Ready?
William cuts the engine.
Wait a minute. I called the docs room. How did I get you?
I'm just leaving the hotel right now. Right now, baby.
Are you fucking with me, Cheryl?
No, baby, I'm not fucking with you. Are you fucking with me? Where are we gonna meet?
Shh. Okay, it's okay. Shh. Okay, listen to me, baby. You trust me? Are you still my baby? Huh? Are you still my little girl?
Yeah. I'm still your fucking baby.
Okay. I love you. I love you so much. Now put the dock on.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey, Will. You're never gonna see your kid again.
William's stunned.
Pull it up!
He snaps to, restarts the engine, and yanks the control stick back, narrowly missing the tops of woodland trees below. Karen managed to send another text message while Joe was on the phone. William gets it on his pager. Abby, Marvin, 15 north of 12. Brown pickup. Joe, me behind. Green Camry. Call police.
Oh, thank God.
He loosens his tie, turns the plane's communications radio on, and puts on his headphones.
This is Dr. Will Jennings. Any FBI agents on this frequency, please respond.
You can't talk to the FBI.
Special Agent Summers, Dr. Jennings.
My daughter is in a moving truck on I-5. The main kidnapper is close behind her and is threatened to kill her. You have to set down on the highway.
Negative, that's not an option. We're behind you in a chopper. Brown unit's only 20 minutes away.
That's too long! You have to set down now!
Pulling off the headphones.
Tighten your seatbelt.
The plane banks right and dives low, following the course of a river. William scans the ground below with a desperate look in his eyes. As they pass over a clump of trees...
There's the road! Okay, they're down there somewhere. And keep your eyes peeled for Marvin's pickup truck.
While William lowers the plane's landing wheels and follows the highway, Cheryl takes out her gun and replaces the bullet magazine William emptied with a full one. They share a look. Barely meters from the ground, William guides the plane low over the highway traffic. Suddenly, Karen looks up as the plane passes overhead.
What the fuck is this guy doing? Wait a minute. That's Will, isn't it?
Answer me!
Cheryl and William scour the road ahead of them.
There's Marvin. I think it's Marvin. It must be Marvin.
Are you sure?
Brown truck.
A trail of surface water spray fizzes up behind Marvin's truck. As William flies past, he glances down at it and banks left. Meanwhile, Joe clips on his seatbelt and speeds up. He makes a call.
What are you doing?
Marvin answers it.
Joey, what's wrong? It's not time yet.
You see this fucking guy, huh? You see a plane? You see a plane?
No!
Karen repeatedly punches Joe's injured leg, causing him to swerve off the road onto a grass verge. He steers back onto the highway, slamming into a vehicle. Quickly regaining control, Joe carries on weaving between the traffic. The seaplane swoops down in the distance, and Abby looks up. William swings the plane from side to side, making the wings wiggle. Marvin twitches but continues to drive. As the plane flies overhead, Abby watches it and allows herself a knowing smile. Karen lunges at Joe again. She wrenches the steering wheel and sends the car careering off the road, straight into a ditch. It ends up on its roof amidst a cloud of smoke. The plane cruises over a large logging truck. William ignores Cheryl. The plane swoops over Marvin's truck and touches down right in front of it. Marvin brakes and the logging truck crashes into the back of his vehicle. Abby lurches forward as the utility truck veers off the road and slams into a boulder. Meanwhile, the plane's wing hits the side of a caravan. Cheryl and William are tossed about as the plane spins to a stop in the road. Despite braking hard, the logging truck smashes through the caravan and slides side on along the highway on a collision course with the stranded plane. William leaps under the truck to safety while Cheryl throws herself onto the verge. Marvin comes too.
Abby, get out!
Get out! Run fast! Run!
Abby jumps out of the steaming truck. Marvin remains pinned behind the wheel. She rushes up the verge towards the burning plane wreckage. In the stolen car, Joe checks on Karen, but she's out cold.
Daddy! Daddy! Daddy!
Cheryl grabs Abby, who drops the carving she was given. William, meanwhile, rushes up to Marvin's truck.
Where's my little girl?
Pointing her gun at Marvin.
Where's Holly?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Because I don't know.
Karen stirs.
FBI!
Sir, I need you to drop that gun.
Joe shoots William.
Joey!
His gun to William's head.
Guess what, Doc? You don't get to die today. Because I want you to spend the rest of your fucking life feeling like I feel.
You're wrong about how Katie died.
I didn't kill her!
Joey, get a car!
I'm dead!
William tries to chase after Joe, but stumbles from his leg wound. At the stolen car, Karen unlocks the boot, and the owner falls out.
Please don't hurt me.
In a daze, Karen snatches a wrench the woman's holding and runs off towards the burning wreckage up ahead. Meanwhile, Joe's limped back onto the highway.
Abby!
Cheryl's hiding behind a car. He's stopped the other side of it. Nearby, Karen slips over.
Where are you, honey? Daddy's okay now, honey. He sent me to come find you. Abby!
He discovers Cheryl clutching Abby.
There you are.
Hey. Daddy!
There's my girl.
Daddy!
I got the money, Joey.
Hey.
I got the money.
Baby, remember when I told you that I had a surprise for you?
Yeah.
She's it.
What's that? What does that mean?
We're gonna be a family again. You and me and her.
No, baby, we're gonna
Mom,
leave her right here with your parents. No, no,
no. No, we're
baby,
taking her with
no.
us.
No, Joey, we can have our own kids.
Karen!
What
are you fucking
Joey,
stupid?
Joey,
you believe him before you fucking believe
baby
me!
Here. No!
Marvin!
No, she's just as innocent as Katie was.
Hey, listen to me. Are you coming with me? Or not?
We need you. I fucking need you. You're the mom. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck.
Inside the vehicle, Marvin's stolen.
Joey!
What?
What? There's another attack!
Listen!
God,
in the truck!
Oh, in the truck!
Wait! God damn it! Where the fuck are you going?
In the truck!
Marvin's in the truck!
Marvin, wait! No! Wait.
No! Joey!
Joey, no!
Joey!
Karen hits Joe with a wrench.
Get back! Joey, put her down!
Get the car.
Put her down!
Karen's got a gun.
Marvin, give her to me.
She's sick.
Abby, Marvin, you have to put her down so I can give her her medicine.
She's sick.
Abby, she can't breathe. You have to give her to me.
Before Joe can shoot, William kicks his aim off. She reels around as the two men wrestle before her. Joe pins William, and Karen fires. Joe falls onto William with two bloody wounds in his chest. Karen's frozen in shock. Cheryl emerges from a vehicle up ahead as William pushes Joe's body aside and turns back to the traumatized Karen.
Karen, where's your medicine?
In a daze, Karen turns the gun on Marvin.
It's in my bag.
Abby,
set up, Abby.
Breathe.
No, Abby, breathe.
Come on.
I need to do this once more, right?
Come on.
In here.
Breathe.
Yeah.
Sit up.
You need more?
Here. Once more.
After several puffs from an inhaler, Abby starts to breathe normally. Her parents hug her tightly and sob with relief. Nearby, Cheryl stares at Joe's lifeless body, and Marvin backs away, unsure of what to do. William looks up and cradles his wife's head in his hands. She has three deep scratches across her forehead. and ground response vehicles soon arrive at the scene. Cheryl struggles against FBI agents as they pull her away from her husband's body. William's put onto a stretcher and passes Abby to Karen, who hugs her tightly, while William's wheeled towards an ambulance. In loving memory of an invaluable colleague and friend, Piotr Sobuchinsky.